Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with another lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. In this lesson, we're looking at question and answer 49, which is the second commandment. The second commandment is, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The second commandment forbids the carving of artistic forms or images. The word image has to do with an artistic form. And you and I are not to engrave images or carve images, that is, artistic forms that will be used in worship or to assist us in worship or would be objects of worship. We have the Holy Spirit of the living God within our hearts, and He is the one who properly assists us and promotes within us a spirit of worship. And we ought not to need images or artistic forms to assist us in worship. I served in a Reformed Presbyterian church in Kansas, and when this particular congregation put up a new church building, the lights that they procured and the pews that they bought to put in the new church building had crosses on them. There were crosses on the ends of each of the pews, and there were crosses on each of the lights. And so, those who were in charge of the construction of the building meticulously removed these crosses from the ends of the pews and from the light fixtures. And, of course, there was no cross or any other religious symbol in the windows or in the front of the church auditorium, the place of worship. You shall not make for yourself any image or artistic form that assists you or pretends to assist you in worship. And you shall not make for yourself any graven image, any carved image, which is an object of worship. All of the idols in the Old Testament were carved images, which were objects of worship, and to which the people would bow down. And when Aaron formed a golden calf for the people to worship at the foot of Mount Sinai, this was in direct violation of what Moses would bring down from the mountain in the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourself an idol, a graven image, to which you would bow down. This means that you and I ought not to think of ourselves too highly and have an image of ourselves in our own minds that we bow down and to which we worship. We ought not to worship the creature rather than the Creator. This too is a violation of the Second Commandment. John Calvin used to say that our hearts and our minds are idol factories, that we are always conjuring up images to which we will bring worship and which we will venerate, things that we think, things that we make, things that we think are good. And this winds up being the sports teams that we are a part of, that we exalt in, and the work that we do, that we exalt in, and we think is so important, and we literally begin to bow down to it and give it all of our time and, in a sense, worship these kinds of things. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. And one of the reasons we should not make for ourselves graven images is that God is spirit. This is what he says in his word through the Apostle John. God is spirit. And how do you make an image of a spirit which you cannot see, which you cannot touch, which you cannot feel, etc., etc.? This is not possible. And so, since God is spirit, we are not to make images of him. The Catechism for Young Children says God is a spirit and does not have a body like men. And the Westminster Confession of Faith says that God is a spirit, or a spirit, and does not have body parts or passions. And we should recognize this is the case. And so it's impossible for us to make for ourselves images that would be in the likeness of the living God. We might pretend that we make such images, and we might conjure up such images in our mind, but because God is spirit, it's not possible for us to do this. Now, when the commandment says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God," the word jealous here is a metaphor. And since God is spirit, God does not have human emotions. And this is what jealousy would be in our text. Let me put it this way. We often attribute to God human characteristics. We say of God that he has a hand. We speak of God's ears. And we speak of God's eyes. And we speak of the mouth of God and the strong arm of God. These two are metaphors. And they're a particular kind of metaphor. A metaphor in which we attribute human characteristics to God. An anthropomorphism. And we say that we attribute to God a human form. But God is spirit, and God actually does not have a human form. The word jealous is also a metaphor. It is a special kind of metaphor. It's a metaphor that we call an anthropopathism. God is spirit, and he is without body parts or passions. And the idea of the anthropopathism is that God is attributed to have human emotions or human passions, or we attribute to God human emotions or human passions. And when God takes action against idolatry, and he does so suddenly and very drastically, we attribute to God the emotion of jealousy. And the action of God looks like the action we would take when we too are jealous. But as I say, this idea of being jealous is a metaphor. It is attributing a human characteristic or a human emotion to the Spirit of God. This does not mean that God does not take drastic action against idolatry. He does. And we need to recognize that this is the case. The text goes on to say in Exodus, "I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." The idea of iniquity here is actually the idea of guilt. And there's a covenantal thrust to what Exodus says here and to what God says here in this particular text. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. In other words, when parents are guilty before God and commit idolatry and refuse to repent of that idolatry and are excommunicated, separated from the people of God, that guilt is felt by the children. And that guilt affects the children of God's people. They too are removed from the midst of the church. And as the children are brought into the church on the basis of the faith of the parents, so the little children are removed from the church on the basis of the apostasy or the sin of the parents. And so we see in this commandment, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The covenant aspect of the commandment, that the mercy of God is experienced by the children of those who embrace the Lord and follow His commandments. And this is not a statement of works righteousness or salvation by works. No. Jesus is quite clear about this in the New Testament. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so the keeping of the commandments is a testimony and a witness to the fact that there is love already in your heart. And the mercy of God has been experienced by you. And the mercy of God is experienced not only by you, but by your children, because they have the privilege of being a part of the community of believers. And so what the commandment is doing here is reflecting God's covenant in both His mercy and love, and also in the aspect of His judgment and His curses. Finally, we should note that Jesus Christ is the exact image of the invisible God. This is important for us to grasp. You see, we are not to carve an image or make an image of the invisible God. But God Himself condescends to come to us in human form and to present to us His image. And He presents to us His image in Jesus Christ. And so you are to grasp Jesus Christ. And what does the Bible tell us? That you and I are to be conformed to the image of the great God of the Bible. How is that to be? You and I are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so God provides for us an image of Himself in Jesus Christ. And His love is set forth in Jesus Christ. The demonstration of His love is set forth in Jesus Christ as He goes to the cross and dies for the sins of His people and procures their salvation. This is the great image of God that's given to us by Him. And we ourselves are to accept this image of God that God gives to us. We are not to conjure up an image that we ourselves may have in our own heads or have in our own minds. No, no. We are to accept and embrace the image of God in Jesus Christ. And so, remember the commandment, dear friends. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You are not to make an image of anything in heaven above or on the earth here below heaven or in the waters that are under the earth, the waters that surround the earth itself and are in the waters. You are not to make an image of any of these things as a means of worshiping the true and living God who is a spirit. You are to embrace the image of God which is given to you in Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.